As you can see, you've just been poisoned. You will surely die. But don't be afraid. I have a cure. The cure is in this room. In fact, all you have to do is look up at the acoustic thing up there. And you will be cured of your poison. And that, my friend, is a promise. As surely as you are poisoned, that can heal you. In our text for today, we see God give this promise to the Israelites that seems like a sort of absurd stipulation. They were just bitten by snakes, going to die from venom, and God says, "Look at that bronze snake, and I promise you'll be healed." The words for our text today are recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, beginning with verse 4. Our translation that we will read today will be a little bit different than the ones printed in your bulletins. We read, "They set out from Mount Hor along the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became very impatient along the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Look, there is no food. There is no water. And we are disgusted by this worthless food.' The Lord sent venomous snakes among the people, and the snakes bit the people. As a result, many people from Israel died. The people went to Moses and said, 'We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed on behalf of the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a venomous snake and put it on a pole. If anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will live.' Moses made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. If a snake had bitten anyone, if that person looked at the bronze snake, he lived." Thus far the words of our text. We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Right before our text takes place, we see that the Israelites had just made a vow to God that God, if God delivered them from the hand of the Canaanite king of Arad, they would wipe out that city. And they did. God had delivered them in a mighty act against their enemy. And immediately after comes our text. They grow impatient along the way. They grow impatient with God. They get antsy right to their core, like a little toddler being told to wait, be patient. They just burst into a fit of rage against God who had delivered them from their enemies. You would think that they would trust in this mighty God who has loved them so far to deliver them from their enemies, and yet they don't. They grow impatient. They even start complaining about all the good things that God has done for them. They start complaining about the food, literal manna from heaven. They say it's worthless. It's disgusting. Talk about choosy beggars. Well, since they were so quick to forget about God, God's goodness, God was quick to remind them of just who he is. He sent snakes. And those snakes were not the good kind of snakes. They were the snakes that hurt you. They bit the people, and the people died. They were put in their place, humbled. They were made to realize that their survival out here in this wilderness isn't because of them, but because of their mighty God. God humbled the Israelites by sending the snakes. In humility, then, The Israelites turn to Moses, confess their sin against God and against him, and ask that Moses act as their go-between, that he would pray for the Israelites. And Moses did, and God once again delivered them. He had Moses fashion a bronze snake, set it on a pole, and all who looked at that snake would be healed. Now, could you imagine if I had actually poisoned you, which I didn't, and that thing actually was the cure, which it isn't, how crazy would you have to be not to just look up? You would have to be so full of pride, or maybe full of doubt in the efficacious healing ability of the acoustic thing, that you just refuse to look up. And yet, it almost seems to imply in our text that some of the Israelites did. What doubt in the promises of God? And yet, on the reverse side of that, those Israelites that did look to the bronze serpent, that were healed, do you think they got up from the floor after being bitten by the venomous snake and then healed, and then suddenly were full of pride and arrogance, saying, "Yes, I've done it. I've healed myself of the venom"? No. That would be ridiculous. The healing was done for them through the promise of God. So I think there are times in our lives where we become impatient like the Israelites were. Let me offer you an illustration. A 5-year-old prays for a bike. And after patiently giving God a full 24 hours to get him that bike, there's no bike. What gives, God? I know that you promised to hear me. I know that you're omnipotent. You can make a bike, probably a pretty good one. I know that you love me. I know that you provide for me. And yet there's no bike. Where are you, God? Why aren't you providing for me the way that I want you to provide for me? The 5-year-old grows impatient. 5-year-old grows angry at God. And what's your bike? What causes you to grow impatient and angry with God? Is he not providing for you in the ways that you want him to? Maybe money's a little tight and he's not giving you money. You're forced to eat ramen every day instead of manna. Or perhaps God just, or sorry, perhaps you feel that God is not making your life easy enough. The struggle is real, and God's just not there, so it seems. And if we grow impatient and angry with our God, how are we going to expect to be patient with people? How are we going to be patient with our spouse, with our friends, or with our children? We have fallen short of God's command. We have grown impatient with God and with people. For that, we deserve the venom of death. When we look for God in places where he has not promised to be found, we find ourselves growing impatient. But God promises to be found in his word and in the cross. Our text for today is quoted in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'll read for you 2 verses here. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just like the bronze serpent was put on a pole and lifted up for the Israelites, so also Jesus was lifted up on the cross for the whole world. The bronze serpent promised life for the Israelites in this earth, on this land, and the cross promises life eternal for all people. And where does this power come from? Where does the power of the cross come from? Well, look no further than Jesus, the one who died on the cross. Jesus was the God-man. He was perfect. He lived the perfect life in your place. All the times that you were impatient, Jesus was patient. Take a look at his interactions with the Pharisees. You know those people that were trying to kill him, trying to get him to stumble? Jesus continued to interact with them, to talk with them, urging them to repentance. Or take a look at his disciples. Those people who were with him, who sat by him and learned from him, and yet still had doubts and questions. Jesus didn't grow impatient with them. He patiently taught them again and again. And Jesus wasn't just patient with men, he was patient with his Father. He had no place to lay his head, and yet he did not angrily cry out or question God, but he willingly went along with the Father's will. Jesus was patient when you were impatient. And on the cross, he took your impatience and died with it, giving you his patience. Your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' holy life and holy death. And God accepts this. God approves of this sacrifice, and we see that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By Christ's death and resurrection, the sins of the whole world are forgiven. But just as the bronze serpent didn't do anyone a lick of good if they didn't look at it, so also the cross doesn't do anyone a lick of good if they don't believe. But to show that this faith that clings to the cross of Christ isn't man's work, God creates faith through means. The Holy Spirit works faith through the Word and baptism. The Holy Spirit creates the faith that clings to the cross of Christ. Salvation is not by man's own doing. And thank God for this, because we are fickle, impatient people, making a vow one day to God and the next angrily crying out against him. Thank God for his word and his sacraments. Thank God for his plan of salvation. And it is the cross that not only acts as a comfort for the life to come, for eternal life, but also comfort in this life. The cross fuels our patience in our lives here with our interactions with people and our patience with God as well. Look for God where he promises to be found. Look up to the cross of Jesus and draw from that fount of patience and life, because that is where he promises to be found. Amen.